You're listening to the North American Francophone Podcast, hosted in English by Claire-Marie Brisson and proudly recorded in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Welcome to the third episode of the North American Francophone Podcast. I'm your host, Claire-Marie, and today we're going to explore Maine's Acadian music with special guest Robert Sylvain, a musician who's bringing a notebook full of songs back to life. For many listeners, the music that you just heard sounds a lot like Irish, Scottish, or maybe even British music, and you wouldn't be entirely wrong. The fact is, Acadian music, or music of the Acadian people, is related to Irish, Scottish, British, Quebecois, and even Cajun music, because it all derives from one part of France, Brittany. Now, if you're not familiar with French geography, Brittany is in the westernmost, northernmost part of France, and it's very close to the English Channel. And unsurprisingly, given the name, Brittany has a large connection to Great Britain, Ireland, and Scotland. Brittany is also part of the Celtic League, or An Conra Celtach, in the Irish language, and this pan-Celtic organization groups together Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, Cornwall, and the Isle of Man, and historically there used to be a branch in Cape Breton Island, which is in Nova Scotia, Canada. Acadia, or Acadie in French, had wide-stretching borders that were at one point in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Cape Breton, Prince Edward Island, and present-day Maine. And today, we're going to be talking a little bit about how Maine continues to have a Francophone Acadian tradition, but also an Acadian tradition in English. At present, the maritime provinces of Canada, such as New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and parts of Quebec, especially in Gaspésie, or the Gaspé Peninsula, do have populations that speak a form of Acadian French. In the United States, statistics point to there being still considerable numbers of French speakers in New England. For example, Maine has around 38,695 speakers of French, around 3% of the population of the state of Maine, still speaking every single day at home. New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut also make up a sizable population of Acadian French speakers in the United States. According to the 2011 to 2015 American Community Survey, around 14.7% of people who live in Lewiston, Maine still speak French, making this the highest population of Francophones in the state of Maine and in New England as a whole. Not everyone with an Acadian heritage in New England speaks French, however, as the predominant language in the United States being English has pushed French speakers to become more Anglophone than Francophone in such communities. One language, however, has not been lost entirely and is being revived through the efforts of musicians. That is the language of music. The Acadians have a long and storied history of shifting borders and also owing to their expulsion from 1755 to 1764, an event known in French as Le Grand Dérangement. Many Acadians resettled in New England, and some even would go to Louisiana, but regardless of where they resettled, the oral tradition of Acadian music stayed alive with the populations that resettled in new places. Acadian music has a wide repertoire of styles, including comical songs, ballads, and even something called complaints, poems from the oral tradition that commemorate a tragic event and tie in well to the Acadian history. Fortunately for us, there are historians who are working tirelessly to document these old songs and musicians who can bring them back to life. I was very excited to come across Robert Sylvain, a Maine musician who had started singing professionally for young audiences in 1990 after having received a grant to start children's music programs in public libraries in Massachusetts. Sylvain will combine his forces with a fiddler, Matthew Doucet, from Louisiana, starting the band Douce and combining their two forces, Cajun and Acadian, to create new music. In 2008, the Maine Arts Council awarded Robert a traditional arts apprenticeship, wherein he worked with the Acadian guitarist David Surette, allowing him the resources to study and develop something that was very personal and special to him, transforming a notebook that had been kept by his grandmother, filled with Acadian lyrics, all handwritten, into playable music. I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to conduct an interview with Monsieur Sylvain, and you'll be able to hear that at the end of this podcast episode. But before we get to that, I want to make sure that this project is accessible to everyone, so I'm going to be posting it to our social media. You'll hear Robert talk about the project himself, but if you're interested in supporting the musician you're just about to hear from, I invite you to visit his personal webpage, Robert Sylvain, SYLVAIN.com, or visit my social media at @the_francophone on Twitter, or go to Facebook at facebook.com/thefrancophone. Just one word. Now on to the interview. I apologize if the sound quality isn't as good because it was a phone call, but there are a lot of gems in there, so I hope that you'll stay tuned.
Would you, if I say I love you, would you love me? Quand tu reposes dessus ces roses, des mille choses te doivent rêver. When you sleep in roses deep, a thousand dreams will come your way. Beauté suprême, c'est à moi-même que dis-je t'aime, veux-tu m'aimer? Veux-tu, que dis-je t'aime, veux-tu m'aimer? Would you, I say I love you, would you love me?
Well, I found you actually online as I was browsing through. I tend to look up things that relate to French-speaking communities in the United States and sort of Francophone communities, and I was very impressed and also touched by your project, Mémère's Notebook. Could you tell me a little bit more about how that started?
Sure. Well, my mémé was an Acadienne. She grew up in the St. John's River Valley in northern Maine. And like many of her generation, as the matriarch of a large family, she kept a notebook of old folk songs, and mostly ballads, and some of them are many years old. Some of them are hundreds of years old from the old world. But in any case, when she died in 1998, it was handed down to her daughter, my Aunt Trudy, and just about around that time, I started playing heritage music with my band Boreal Tordu, with a friend who is also of Acadian descent, a fiddler, Steve Muse. And so Trudy took note of that and told me about the notebook, and that's when I started digging into some of those songs. It took, you know, all this time, about 20 years, to research the melodies, because, of course, the notebook only has lyrics, no melodies.
So do you think that this was done sort of maybe when she was in family gatherings, or did she do this kind of on her own to kind of remember the past?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. Her brother also kept a similar notebook with similar songs, and it's not unusual for people in this culture to keep a tome of old ballads, and I think they're intended to be sung a cappella, you know, they might gather in the parlor, so to speak, or
yeah,
around the fire in the kitchen and just sing these old songs. In the Acadian traditions, similar to a lot of Celtic traditions, there's fiddle tunes,
mm-hmm,
you know, instrumental tunes, and then there's these epic ballads, and in French they call them complaints, which is sort of like a lament, usually multiple verses with no chorus.
And it's interesting that, you know, there's this kind of, you know, Celtic and also French combination between the two. I've heard that a lot of the complaints come also from the Middle Ages and then kept going into the Renaissance and onwards. So many of these songs are very, very old. And then, you know, were just either adapted through the years or, you know, but I'm not sure if the melodies are the same in the Acadian tradition, but the tradition is still there.
Yeah. Well, they've evolved, and that's what I found mm-hmm. out after starting to dig into them, you know, true to the folk tradition, which is usually an oral tradition. They would evolve and change as they sort of traversed the planet, and I found many versions of these old Acadian tunes in archives in Brittany. The Bretons, of course, are the Celts of France, and yes. the Acadians came through Brittany to arrive in the New World. So they brought a lot of that culture with them, and some of the Acadians are of Breton descent. So there's definitely a connection there.
Definitely, and it, you know, it's interesting to hear what you're saying, too, because my grandfather grew up in Quebec, and then he migrated down to Metro Detroit, and sort of the same traditions, the ballads were being sung with a fiddle. When family came down, they'd have nights where they just would revive the old songs, so to speak. And it was just a good time. You know, you spent the evening talking, singing, and thinking about the world events, and it all kind of went together. And it's great that you're keeping these melodies alive. And also, I'm very impressed that you're bringing it to an English-speaking audience. Can you tell me how you started to do that and how you were inspired to do the translations of these ballads?
Yeah, thank you for your kind words, first of all. It has been quite a journey, and I didn't take translating them lightly. It was a difficult decision in some ways, because I think that sort of the prevailing winds of heritage preservation put a lot of stock in preserving the language, and I think that for many years, keeping the language alive was the main thread that tied Acadians to their heritage. Like the Quebecois, they held on to their language tightly and in the face of assimilation by the British, because unlike the Quebecois, the Acadians were under British rule since almost the beginning, going back and forth between British and French rule. They were sort of surrounded by the English, and they never made a deal like the Quebecois did to keep their religion and language officially, in an official capacity. And so they had to keep it sort of unofficially underground. And that's certainly the case in Maine here, where there's sort of still a, I want to speak carefully here,
yes.
because it's not really tantamount to racism, but there's still a lot of anti-French bias that echoes through the generations. And you can still sort of feel it here in Maine in a lot of ways. The French in my father's generation were second-class citizens, and they were made to feel inferior in no uncertain terms. And so for my father and his generation, speaking French was a liability. And so a lot of them, you know, sought to assimilate and didn't pass down the language to their children. So that's sort of where my generation sat, brought up with the idea of the melting pot as opposed to multiculturalism, which wasn't even a word when I was a young man. So when I started to recognize that loss, I endeavored to learn French, mostly through song, through heritage music. And, you know, I had some French from growing up with my father and my mémé speaking French as their first language, but it's not my mother tongue. It's been, you know, not easy to recapture it. And even more than that, playing heritage music to mostly English-speaking audiences has been a mixed blessing. I am really pleased with people's response to the beauty of the French language, the beauty of the music. And when I was playing with Boreal Pardu, I'd often start off by explaining the lyrics of the song before playing it. But there's a whole part of North American French musical tradition that falls apart when you don't have a French-speaking audience. And the perfect example is the Chanson à répondre, which is the call and response song. So if the audience can't muster the response, then the song kind of falls flat.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the other example, I guess, is what we have with Mémé's Notebook, which is long-winded epic stories. You know, with ballads, it's lovely to get the sense of the music and the sound of the words in French. But if you can't understand the lyric, then you're missing the story and a lot is lost. Recognizing that a lot of Acadians in Maine are English speaking, have little or no French in my generation, and yet they want a connection to their heritage and they appreciate the music, it became clear that to bring it to my generation, to my peers, and to my audiences, they would have to be translated. So that's what I spent the last 3 or 4 years doing.
That's incredible. And, you know, translation in itself is almost like rewriting. It's so hard to choose the right word or to make it sound like it fits. Kudos
right.
to you for doing that very, very difficult task. And have you had a positive response to these translations? Do you think that audiences connect to the stories better now that they understand them?
Yeah, I do think so. And I feel lucky in that, sort of ironic, that I didn't set out initially to translate them. And so I really internalized the French lyrics and studied them with an ear to, you know, singing them in French as they would have been sung perhaps in days past. And so when it came time to translate them, it was easier than I thought it would be. It wasn't easy, but it was easier than I thought it would be just because I knew the story so well. And so far, the response has been fantastic, especially in the French-speaking communities like Lewiston and Biddeford. The mill towns up here in Maine still have an older generation that speaks French, and they seem to be thrilled with the idea, even though I think there will always be some purists that...
Right.
You know, I think there's a, you know, petite mort in losing the connection to the language. But I don't think it's losing the connection to the language. The translations, I think, honor the original French in a lot of ways. There's turns of phrase that are clearly French, and there's, you know, even idioms that are purely Acadian. So, and certainly the subject matter is Acadian. I think that there's not too much lost in the translation.
So, and I'm also noticing with, you know, sort of your idea is coming into translating from the French, moving into English, that you're also going to allow more and more people to hear these translations through your project. You have an Indiegogo right now that is being backed for a songbook CD and download, or just a CD. Could you tell me a little bit more about that, about sort of the support that you're doing there and how you're going to sort of ship this worldwide and provide this to even more people outside of Maine?
Yeah, I hope to. So the Indiegogo campaign is intended to pre-sell the record and songbook and other parts of this project that is going to be produced over the winter. And so it's not donations to fund it, but rather the idea that I'm going to produce this one way or the other.
Right.
But it'd be great to have people buying it ahead of time so that I'll be able to present it and ship it as soon as it's done. So what I'm going to be doing is I'll be recording a double CD set, the first 12 songs that I've found in the Meme's notebook, sung in French and with the English translations. And then I'll also be presenting a spiral-bound songbook with, you know, professional engravings of the lyrics, melody, chords, along with the French and English, and notes on the history of each song and the sources from which I drew to figure out the melodies. And I'm expecting to ship the end of winter, beginning of spring.
Wonderful, and I hope that my listeners also support that. I'll be posting a link to the Indiegogo on the North American Francophone Podcast social media, so hopefully we can bring your grandmother's collection of Acadian ballads back to life for a new generation.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your encouragement and support.
Yeah, and thank you for talking. I mean, this truly, as a Francophone descendant of French-Canadian Quebecois who came to the U.S., I can definitely identify with this. In the Great Lakes, we also had many communities that just stopped speaking French because of the same reasons that you were mentioning about Maine.
Right.
And across the miles, I can really feel that this will connect a lot of people in the United States, in Canada, and elsewhere to a story that is just so profoundly important and also very profoundly important to hear its history in English, particularly for those communities that, you know, just didn't have the chance to keep the language or to speak French as well as English for multiple reasons. So, yeah, thank you so much for your hard work.
Merci, Clémarie.
Merci à vous, Robert.
C'était un grand plaisir.
Pour moi aussi. Merci beaucoup.
And merci beaucoup to all of you for joining us once again on another episode of the North American Francophone Podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. And if you'd like to connect with us on social media, again, we are at @the_francophone on Twitter and facebook.com/thefrancophone. See you next week.